Radio Prague News.
Around three quarters of Prague citizens are opposed to a coalition between the Civic Democrats and Social Democrats running the city, according to an internet poll. Hopes that a near two-year wait for a new US ambassador in Prague will end soon have been dealt a further blow, and the Czech national football team has drawn 0-0 in a friendly against Denmark. 77% of Prague citizens are opposed to a coalition between the Civic Democrats and Social Democrats governing the city for the next 4 years, according to a lightning internet survey by the SANEP polling agency. 65% of respondents said the coalition deal announced on Tuesday was based on corruption. The coalition deal follows local elections in October, during which the Topo 9 party pushed the right-wing Civic Democrats into second place in the capital for the first time in 20 years, but they fell short of an overall majority in the assembly. The Civic Democrats' long-time rule in the capital has become tainted by suspicions of corruption. Around 2,000 people protested against the coalition deal in Prague on Wednesday. Hopes for the near two-year wait for a US ambassador to take up office in Prague to end soon have been dealt a further blow, according to Czech radio on Thursday. President Barack Obama's nominee, advisor Norman Eisen, was blocked in the Senate by a Republican senator, Charles Grassley. Hopes that this was just an election ploy ahead of midterm elections for Congress have evaporated. The senator's office has confirmed to Czech radio that he is sticking by his stance, with diplomatic sources saying that Mr. Eisen's appointment to the Prague post now looks unlikely and that another candidate will have to be found. Prime Minister Petr Nečas insisted on Thursday that the government as a whole will have to decide on the share out of any extra money freed up because of better-than-expected public finances. The scenario of some extra cash being available was raised by Finance Minister Miroslav Kalousek at a meeting in Brussels on Wednesday. He said it was 100% certain that the state deficit would not exceed the target of 163 billion crowns, or 5.3% of gross domestic product, set for this year. He added that hundreds of millions of crowns, but not billions, might be available for the worst-hit public services as a result. One adult and one child were killed following an explosion and fire at an apartment block in the northern town of Česká Lípa in the early hours of Thursday. Three other adults received severe burns and have been taken to a special burns unit in Prague. The worst had burns on 94% of his body. The cause of the explosion and fire is still not known. The Czech national football team drew 0-0 in a friendly against Denmark on Wednesday night in front of 10,000 stadium goers in the Danish city of Aarhus. Early in the game, in the 18th minute, a penalty was awarded against the Czechs, but the kick was saved by goalkeeper Petr Čech. Goals proved elusive throughout the match, although at one point Kadlec came close hitting the post. The game was the last international outing for both teams this year. And finally, a look at the weather. It should remain cloudy with rainy periods over the coming days. Maximum temperatures of around 10 degrees Celsius. I'm Chris Johnston, and that was the news.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Ruth Franíková. Coming up in today's program, 2,000 people took to the streets to protest against the coalition between the Civic and Social Democrats at Prague City Hall. The trial begins with a man accused of forcing another driver off a busy Czech motorway, and scientists search for the descendants of an alleged vampire. Then later on in the program, we meet the Czech celebrity chef Zdeněk Polreich. All that coming up, so please stay with us. A recently agreed coalition between the Civic and Social Democrats at Prague City Hall is only a few days old, but almost from the get-go the deal has been seen critically by many voters. On Wednesday, some 2,000 let their dissatisfaction be known. While not a huge number, protesters hope the demonstration will give the Prague Civic and Social Democrats at least some food for thought. Jan Wellinger has the details.
The recent municipal elections in Prague were about change, but many see the outcome as anything but. Earlier this week, it became clear the winner's top 09, who garnered more than 30% of the vote, would not head the next city council, but instead would head straight for the opposition, frozen out in a deal between the Civic and Social Democrats. The deal has left many voters in Prague disappointed, and on Wednesday, some 2,000 came out to Prague's Wenceslas Square to vent their discontent, calling for an end to corruption and cronyism at City Hall. Antonin Parma is a representative of Vymienta Politiki, Change Our Politicians, the civic initiative that organized Wednesday's demonstration. He criticized the deal.
It was intentional and agreed long in advance, and this joining of the Civic and Social Democrats will block, despite the message sent by voters, any kind of new order at City Hall.
Over the last 4 years, City Hall came under increasing criticism, facing allegations of corruption and clientelism, a far cry from 4 years back when outgoing Mayor Pavel Bem led the Prague Civic Democrats to a convincing victory. For that reason, many voters now put stock in newcomers Top 09, headed by former head of the National Bank Zdeněk Tuma. But in the end, the party did not have the clout to pull off a coalition in Prague and was locked out. The Civic Democrats' incoming mayor, Bohuslav Svoboda, meanwhile reacted by saying he didn't think this was the time for protest, telling Czech TV the demonstrations would only be appropriate if his party failed to keep its promises. Another member involved in the recent negotiations, Social Democrat Representative Karel Březina, said this.
Prague residents and people who attended the demonstration need to give the newly founded coalition a chance.
Will they? Pundits are generally of the opinion that voter anger over the deal will peter out and certainly be forgotten by most the next time they go to the polls. Others, though, won't let the issue die. For one, the Green Party, together with Public Affairs and the European Democrats, has put forward a constitutional complaint over changes to the election system in Prague that it claims put its candidates at a disadvantage. The move has been indirectly backed by longtime Green Party supporter, former President Václav Havel. Last but not least, the civic association Vymienta Politiki also says it's not about to let incoming politicians off the hook. On Wednesday, it called for people to come out and demonstrate again when the new city council sits for the first time.
Many thanks to Jan Wellinger. The trial has begun in Prague of a man accused of deliberately forcing another driver off a busy Czech motorway. The car of the alleged victim, which had been travelling at more than 100 kilometres an hour, rolled over several times before hitting a tree. Video footage of the incident shocked many Czechs and spread internationally via the internet. Ian Willoughby has been following the story and joins me now. Ian, what exactly happened?
Well, Ruth, what seems to have happened is that a 40-year-old man named Luboš Lacina was driving on the main motorway between Prague and Brno in March this year when he evidently got frustrated that his Škoda Superb car was stuck behind a Mazda, which was overtaking a truck on the motorway. Then when the Mazda had finished overtaking the lorry and re-entered the slow lane, Lacina, it seems from the video that we've seen, drove alongside this Mazda before suddenly cutting into the outside lane right across the path of the other car and literally using his Superb to force the other car off the road.
So was the Mazda driver hurt?
Well, luckily, only slightly. The car was going at around 130 kilometres an hour, so when they went off the road at that speed, it turned over repeatedly before coming to a halt when it hit a tree. But somehow the 26-year-old female driver and her passenger managed to escape with only minor injuries. The police said the two could have been killed and that they had never seen anything like this incident. And I think it's probably safe to say it was the same for most Czechs who saw this video or saw video of this incident recorded by motorway cameras on all the main Czech TV stations. The video also spread around the world via the internet. It was posted on YouTube under the title Horrible International Car Accident, and it's been watched to date it's been watched over 300,000 times.
The trial started on Thursday. What happened in court?
Yes, the trial began this morning at the Central Bohemian District Court in Prague. This driver, Lubos Latsena, said that the two cars hadn't actually touched. He said the Mazda driver had simply been scared by a sudden manoeuvre that he made and had driven off the road herself. He says the whole thing was an accident, although his claims wouldn't seem to fit with the claim of the passenger of the Mazda that before the incident, Mr. Latsina has shouted at them and raised his middle finger. By the way, it was this guy, Latsina, who called the emergency services himself. He said he'd seen an accident and he phoned the police. In any case, he could go to jail now for a maximum of 12 years. That's if he's found guilty of bodily harm and damage of property.
Thank you, Ian. Just a reminder that you are listening to the International Service of Czech Radio broadcasting from Prague. Czech scientists have launched an unusual project that might lead them to the descendants of a medieval vampire. On Tuesday, they collected DNA samples from around a dozen inhabitants of Hradec nad Nisou, where a 14th century grave had been found with a body buried in a way typical for outcasts. But the main purpose of the project is to draw attention to science and to a new town museum that should open next year. Jan Richter has the story.
In March, archaeologists in the North Bohemian town of Hradec nad Nisou discovered a strange grave on the town's main square. The skeleton was positioned face down and had several silver coins in its hand. The fact that the grave was outside a cemetery suggested the person in it had been stigmatized by his contemporaries. For centuries, such a burial rite was typical for people who were thought to be sorcerers, witches or vampires. On Tuesday, the researchers returned to Hradec nad Nisou to discuss the find with the locals and to ask them for their own DNA samples. Daniel Vaněk from the Prague-based firm DNA Forensic Service explains.
If we collect samples from people living in the area around Hradec nad Nisou, in case of a stroke of a good luck, we can find a match between either male lineage or female lineage with those bone samples. So we would find living relatives, some genetic cousins to this skeleton. So this is the reason we were collecting DNA samples in this area, to compare it with our archaeogenetic results.
Further research showed that the skeleton belonged to a man who died at around 50 years of age, and scientists were able to extract the DNA samples. According to the genetic profile, the man came from the Balkans, more specifically from northern Greece or Albania. But Mr. Lenjek says the main aim of the project is to draw attention to science and to a new town museum that will open in Hradec nad Nisou next spring.
The idea was that if we do this, We will be able to attract people to do research that is taking place at Hradec nad Nisou, to attract them to genetic genealogy, to archaeogenetics, to anthropology. And it really happened because I've been giving a presentation yesterday evening, and the lecture room at the town hall was fully packed with people, and they were listening for 2 hours and voluntarily giving samples. So it's a perfect example how to bring the science to the kitchen.
The scientists admit that only sheer luck could lead them to the man's descendants still living in the area, like in the case of Cheddar Man, when in 1997 British researchers found a relative from a man who died more than 7,000 years before Christ.
Jan Richter with that report. Now, in the final part of our program today, we meet the Czech celebrity chef Zdeněk Polreich, who talks about the poor standard of Czech restaurants.
Co mě uzemnilo jako těžce teda, jo, je tohleto, protože to se jmenuje jak?
In his weekly TV show Ano Šéfe, or Yes Boss, Zdeněk Polreich sets restaurant owners straight. Some might say he is the closest equivalent that the Czech Republic has to Gordon Ramsay. And the Czech celebrity chef has some authority on the topic. He started cooking in 1975, then left the country shortly after the Velvet Revolution and spent some time working abroad. Since returning home, he has applied what he calls the Western standard of cooking and service to a number of restaurants around Prague. Zdeněk Pojraj's current operation is the restaurant in the city's famous Hotel Imperial, where I met up with him to talk about why so many restaurants fail at producing decent food.
The most common thing is that people are entering the restaurant business with a lot of prejudices about it. A lot of them don't realize how very competitive it is, and quite often they don't have any qualification for it, no education, not even running tobacconist shop maybe. That they just think that the restaurant business is something what is actually working by momentum somehow. And I think it's for the most of the people I met during our shooting, it was really like rude awakening, which is going to cost them, some of them, the lifetime savings. I think that restaurant industry is really a brutal one. And those people, they simply have no idea.
What was some of the worst food you had to taste at those restaurants?
I can still remember that incredible pasta sort of gratin with some broccoli, which was, you wouldn't serve it in a prison probably. That was the most awful thing I've seen on the plate. And yeah, there is a lot of shocking things, you know. But this one was pure garbage. You couldn't even talk about cooking. You would just imagine the penne, which is overcooked till it actually loses its shape. Some totally overcooked broccoli and some cheap cheese on the top of it, and all this fleshed under the grill and served. What I find quite shocking, actually, in that particular episode was that the people were even complaining about portion size, you know. They would probably be able to consume more of that shit. And to me, it's I'm just amazed, you know. I just think that I'm often asked a question by the people that when we gonna improve the food and blah 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 in this country, because for some reason people think we are our show is sort of mission for a better food or somehow. But I'm always saying, you know, it's in your hand. You consumers, you are the only ones. You have this tremendous power of not taking it. Simply don't go to those places. Don't accept it as a standard. And I think it's in the consumer's hands at the end of the day.
In terms of maybe the service side of things, I mean, often you focus on the kitchen and the budget when you go into these restaurants and you're on your TV show. But in terms of service, do you think there's still a lot left to catch up with the West here?
I'm afraid that the Czech people are not born for the service. I think that still there are still many of them who find it, let's say, humiliating somehow or frustrating, or that they simply don't realize the importance of the good service. Thanks God, I don't know if it's thanks God, but with many restaurants closing their doors nowadays, there is still the let's say the demand for the good waiters positions is growing. At least there is some people available on the market. When we were starting 2 years ago, we could have posted an ad for the waiter and waited for a month without any single reply. Now it's changing. I think that people will probably sooner or later value to get a good job where they can make a decent living on. But yeah, service, I think it's still very basic in a lot of places. What I'm missing in many restaurants is just the feel, you know. I don't really care whether someone brings me the food from the left or right hand side. I don't give a damn. For me, it's important that someone gives me a smile and create some sort of atmosphere. And it's very often not the case.
So what do you think has changed since 20 years ago, since the Velvet Revolution, in terms of maybe cuisine, ingredients that are available and so on?
Well, as far as the ingredients are concerned, I just think that we can import just about everything. Local ingredients, they virtually don't exist to a certain extent. So to quality restaurants, we're importing just about really everything. It's quite shocking that the local producers, they actually don't do anything. And what has changed for the better? Of course, it's a huge number of the restaurants. I think the number of the restaurants must have multiplied by I don't know how much, but just about every single hole in the house is the restaurant nowadays. All those people, they sort of, they fighting they sort of fight the price war more than they would think creatively about being different or being more interesting. So now we can buy everything, but the buying power is still not there. So lots of restaurants, they're selling very, very cheap, and the costs are actually skyrocketing at the moment, and they simply they're not able to make enough profits anymore.
You mentioned locally manufactured ingredients. In recent years, it's been a huge trend to shop locally, go to the farmer's market. Do you think that's going to arrive here?
You know what? I actually don't think so. Because I'm quite skeptical. I think it's shocking that a city like Prague is not having a single food market of certain size. There is a lot of different markets with the garbage clothes and fake whatever. I think that Prague actually owns their own citizens big time, something like, you know, you see stupid aqua parks on every corner, but there is no single place where you can comfortably buy and enjoy food as such.
Why do you think that is? It's a bit strange.
I just don't think that there is enough producers. You know, I think that what would help is to create a spot where general public is having access to the foodstuffs, what we are having, okay? They would grow the market tremendously. And I think there must be I think that who rules actually the food business in this country is supermarket chains, no doubt about it. They basically dictate the price. At the same time, they're killing the producers. And if the poor producers, they have no other place to go, they simply work for the supermarkets. That's all that is.
And now to switch a bit from the producers to actual what is being cooked, I think I noticed at least a bit there is a trend to go back to kind of making Czech traditional food, but just focusing on making it well and from good ingredients. Do you think it's still something that people enjoy and maybe even something that people do at home, that they make knedlíky from scratch or they take the time to make a good svíčková? Or do you think it's all going towards making a quick pasta?
I think that people nowadays, they simply don't have enough time to cook Czech cuisine properly during the week. They should be doing it, let's say, during the weekends, because the traditional Czech stuff is quite time-consuming, and it's not really suitable, let's say, for summer months. I think it's sort of dying away, and I think that maybe sooner than we think, the quality Czech cuisine will be available in the restaurants only.
And what do you think is replacing it, or do you see any trends or bigger developments in cooking here?
Well, I'm afraid it's, in the better cases, it's probably replaced by, let's say, sort of Italian, Euro type of food. But unfortunately, I think in many, many cases, it's being replaced by pure garbage, what people stuffing their faces with.
That edition of Panorama by Sara Borůvka, which was first broadcast in January this year, brings us to the end of today's program. Please tell us if you've got any thoughts on what you've heard on the show today. The postal address is Vinohradská 12, 120-99, Prague 2. The address for emails is english@radio.cz. As always, everything you've heard in the program can also be found at radio.cz. There you will also find a huge archive of reports and features in both text and audio form. You can also sign up for a free news email and use our podcasting. We'll talk to you again soon, but until then, from myself, Ruth Franková, and all of us here at Radio Prague, thanks for listening and goodbye.
Thank you.